Thank you very much, Father Longsway, for inviting us here in this beautiful parish and the vibrancy of it. I mean, it's just great. And I also want to thank Adrian and Mary for many months of working on this. It's just an honor to be here. But I also want to thank the husbands for driving their wives here. You know, the truth is, we husbands love spending all day on a marriage conference. It's our idea of a good time. I understand, sometimes your wife doesn't want to come. Sometimes you just got to man up and say, you know what? I want to work on a marriage. I want to have a lot of embarrassing conversations about what kind of husband and father I am. Let's go all day. So I want to thank the husbands for that. How about an applause for the husbands for coming here? Let's go. Very good. Well, this is great. What a beautiful place. We're very excited. Well, just to kind of get things started, you know, our most fundamental vocation, vocation we all share, whether you're a priest or a consecrated, married, single, your parent or not, children, future parents, is the vocation to love, right? So that was the great commandment that was discussed in the three Gospels, right? To love God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor with ourselves, all right? And then Christ comes to reconcile that, because we're a little bit unreconciled between us and the Father, and us and each other. And Christ only gave, it's kind of interesting, Christ only gave one new commandment, right? He didn't give like 27 new commandments. He just gave one new commandment, which was to love one another as he has loved us. This is a very tall order. And of course, it puts us radically dependent upon Christ's grace right out of the gate to try to love like he loves. Now, Father actually couldn't have said it best in terms of the temperaments. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's not the usurp your spiritual life or time on your knees and the grace of God. It is, like Father actually said really well, I thought, it's a practical tool. It's not a necessary tool, but it's a practical tool to help you to try to love like Christ loves. It's a practical tool on the natural level. You know, grace builds upon nature. This is a natural level thing. So we're going to talk about the temperaments as a tool in your toolbox, you know, that kind of thing that would be helpful. And we'll also talk about some other things. We kind of err on the side of being kind of practical. That's just the way we're Lori and I are built. So I hope it's a value to you as we do this. Now, we also think, though, that the temperaments are a good tool for self-knowledge. And usually the default setting, most Catholic thinking, certainly Teresa of Avila and others, is you want to start to change, you start really with yourself. And you can try to change the world, try to change your wife, your kids, all that, and there's a sense that that's appropriate, of course, as you're growing together. But I think the best use of the temperaments is probably to look at yourself and say, now that I know this about me, I'm not being put in a box, and we'll be real clear about that. You can really go a lot of different directions no matter what your temperament is, but it's to really gain self-knowledge. I want to understand myself better so I can continue to grow. But nonetheless, it is a great tool for spouses and families. When you know yourself, you generally become more humble, you know, that kind of thing. And you'll see a lot of humbleness in our stories, some of it humiliating, actually, but humbleness in our stories as we talk about our relationship and our different things that we've learned over the years and 40 years of marriage. But also, I think temperaments are very helpful in another key part of our faith, which is to be forgiving. You know, and we don't want to just white-knuckle forgiveness. I gotta forgive, gotta forgive. But the temperament sometimes, I hope for you, it certainly has been for us and many others, a good tool to say, okay, that's why that's happening. Okay, he's not staying up all night trying to terrorize me and torment me. It's just kind of the way he's built a little bit or she's built. So that's very helpful, I think, for forgiveness, which we're called to do all the time. But I just want to say this again, too. It's not putting anyone in a box. Some psychological tools do that. This tool really is to really try to gain self-awareness. And through virtue, the virtue and the grace of God, you can change no matter really what your temperament is. And as Catholics, we don't believe you're ever determined by your environment or biology. You are dealt a hand with tendencies. And remember, a good way to look at temperaments is how you tend to react. It's not how you have to react, but it's how you tend to react. And that can be invaluable, and we'll give some instances of that. But it doesn't impair our freedom to act how we want to act and how God wants us to act. So it's not an imposing on freedom. And then just like every Catholic talk, you have to have at least one reference to St. Thomas Aquinas. So let me get that out of the way. Let me get that out of the way. Otherwise, my thinker at the wrong place. Grace never destroys nature, but always perfects it. So ideally, hopefully, by knowing your temperament, that'll help you perfect your nature. Now, Lorraine's going to start off here on the choleric temperament.